All right, good morning. We're going to go ahead and continue here, thinking through, talking through some of the aspects of the tangible kingdom. It's going to kind of be our agenda for teaching this morning. So let's go ahead and pray and lift our time up to the Lord here. God, Father, I thank you for collecting us together this morning as your people in just this small little church body, this church family. And God, we pray that you would teach us, you would speak to us in a way that we need to be spoken to this morning, God. Lord, I pray that it just wouldn't be a talking head up here, and but it would be you that's speaking somehow, some way. And so, God, we trust that that's true. We trust that you have something that we need to hear about from you this morning, God. So we invite you and just ask you to poke and prod at us, and that we would have ears that can hear you, hearts that can hear you, and Lord, that we would learn something about who you are. We would learn something about who we are, and the mission that you have for us as your people. And so we need your help in that process, and just be with us here this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So I'm getting a lot of echo back here or up here. Are these monitors on? Are these monitors on up here? Can we turn those off? I'm getting a lot of echo. I have enough echo already. So I'm going to tell a little story here, just personally for me, and just kind of how some of the tangible kingdom has spoken to me, especially from a perspective or an aspect of just community and really what that is and what that means. And so this goes back a little ways for me. It's 1977. I'm 13 years old. And so that's about, that's a long time ago for me. And it's early in the morning, and something's different. I know something's different because my mom comes into my room, which and wakes me up, which was never the case. And so right away, I knew something was up. Something was happening. Something was different. And my mom takes me into my sister's bedroom, and my grandma's there. And mom proceeds to tell us that my dad had been killed in a car accident earlier that morning. And so that dramatically changed my life. My life would never be the same from that point forward. And so we go through the stuff that you normally go through in a situation like that. You go and you pick out a casket, and you have a funeral service, and there's a few days there that just kind of very chaotic and very just troubling, and just a whole mess of thoughts and emotions going on. But that time passes, and it's a few days later, and something else happens that would kind of flavor and shape my life. And that was that I grew up on a farm, in a farming community, small farming community in Iowa. And within a few days, all of these farmers show up at our farm. And they were there to finish putting in the crops because it was May, it was spring, and the crops weren't all the way in. And so they show up, they give their own time, they bring their own equipment. I don't know exactly how all of that happened. I'm sure there was a lot of coordination, a lot of just scheduling things, and a lot that had to happen to get to that point. But for me, as a 13-year-old kid, all I knew is that all of these people just showed up, and they were there to put the crop in. And not only that, but they took care of the crop throughout the summer. And then it came the fall, and they were there to harvest the crop. And so for me, when I think about community, that's my standard. That's what I always go back to. Everybody just showed up. It's just what you did. if you were a farmer in Wayne County, Iowa in 1977, it was just what you did. When something like that happened, there wasn't anything to gain from it. They weren't there to get anything. They were there to simply give. That's my picture. That's my standard of what community looks like. And so as we're processing through some of the tangible kingdom information and thoughts and paradigms, we probably all have our own story, our own thoughts, our own standard when it comes to community. But for me, that's where it always goes back to. Just an unselfish giving of self. Not wanting or not expecting to get anything out of it. So I hope for you, I hope this journey through the tangible kingdom has been a good thing. I hope it's caused each and every one of us to think about what does community look like? What does it mean to really be in the context of others and to be in a place where we can give of ourselves? To whatever that community is, and there's all kinds of communities that we're all connected with. This is just one of them. This is just one part. How do we walk in community? Hope it's been challenging for us. I hope it's kind of tweaked some of our paradigms a little bit. Hope it's caused us to ask some questions about ourselves and about God's kingdom and His community, His family that He wants to build. This is the last week, right? We're kind of in week 8 of that journey, of that process together. So the title, the caption for this week is The Intuitive Life. So that's what we're going to talk about here this morning. And I share that story because for those farmers, it was intuitive. That's just what they did. That's what they knew. That's the soup they swam in. That was the culture. And if that same thing happened today in that culture, I'm thinking the same, exact same thing would happen. There would be a bunch of farmers that just show up, not expecting to get anything, but to just simply give because there was a family that was in need. It's community. And it was instinctive to them. It was intuitive. Just something that they did, something that they knew. And I think for us, as God's people, God wants that for us as His family. He wants us to be instinctive people in the context of what it means to be the hands and feet of Jesus Christ in this world around us. That it just becomes a part of who we are. It becomes intuitive to us. So I just want to share a few thoughts on just that whole idea here this morning. So I think it's important to God. Fundamentally, God just wants us to die to ourselves, to be unselfish people, and to just give of ourselves, to live a life that is somehow an expression of Jesus Christ in the world around us. So that others can simply know who God is. Simply come to know who Jesus is and what He has done for them already. And what He wants to do for them right now, today, and what He has in mind for tomorrow. It's a journey, it's a process. To be honest, a lot that has been in our workbook and the companion book that the workbook kind of flowed out of, called The Tangible Kingdom. For me, a lot of it, I just kind of ask the cynical question of why. You know, do we really need what's in there? I mean, a lot of it just seems so basic, so simple. So it's just kind of like being a human 101, right? It's not rocket science. And so that's the kind of the cynical side of me as I kind of go through that. That's kind of the rebellious side, right? But then I start to think about it a little bit more. And I start thinking about it from God's perspective and how his story is kind of, you know, unfolded. And I start peeling back the layers on that. And I start thinking about, you know, sin and the fall and how that comes in. And that's a part of God's story. Way back in the beginning, as far as we know it. And the fact of the matter is, sin has come into the world. It is a broken world. And a part of how that manifests itself, a part of how sin manifests itself in this world that you and I live in, is just selfishness. That's how it manifests itself in me, is just selfishness. I want what's best for me. And there's probably a part of that that's true for every single one of us in this room. We want what's best for us because of sin, because it's come into the world, and we want things in the way that make, the best for us. And so I think about it from that perspective, and then I start to think about, well, from that perspective, this whole idea of giving of ourselves to others and being the hands and feet of Jesus to those around us in the community that we live in or in Nepal or in China or wherever it might be. I just start to think about that we need these constant reminders of what it needs to be, what we need is this idea, this thought of what that actually means in our lives. Right, how that manifests itself in our own lives and then through us into the lives of those around us. We need those constant reminders. And so, yeah, it can seem very, very basic, very, very simple, and yet you and I, as fallen, broken people that live in a broken, fallen world, we need those constant reminders. We need the constant reminders of what it means to be a good, caring person in all kinds of contexts. What does that look like in the context of my work? What does that look like in the context of my neighborhood and in my school and all the different spheres that all of us, you know, step into? What does it look like? Well, we need to be reminded of that. Again and again and again, because we can be so deceived into thinking that it's just my life. It's my life. And if it's my life, I can do with it whatever I want to. So easy to think that way. And yet, that way of thinking does not line up with God's way of thinking. That just doesn't jive. The word intuitive simply means having the ability to know or understand things without any proof or evidence, or readily learned or understood. That's what intuitive is. And we can kind of connect with that in various different ways, depending upon who we are and kind of how we're wired. There's things that may be very, very intuitive to us as a human being, as a person, right, that we can connect with that just kind of makes sense to us. And then there's other things that aren't like that at all, right? They just seem just really clumsy. They seem like when we interact with whatever those things are that are like that, that we're just kind of stumbling around in the dark, like we're a fish out of water. And we have a hard time connecting with those sorts of things. And so we both have we have both of those sorts of things in our lives, right? Things that are very intuitive, things that are very instinctual to us, and things that are just the antithesis of that, right? We have both of those in our lives. But there's a way, according to God, that he has in his mind that he would like his people to live. And that's what I want to look at a little bit here this morning. I love what we read in Acts chapter 9, verses 1 and 2. This is Saul, before he came to know who Jesus Christ was, before he had his kind of his moment of conversion, verse 1, it says, "But Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any belonging to the way, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem." And I want to focus just for a few minutes on that phrase that's in there, the way, because if you look in your, maybe it is or maybe it isn't, in your translation, whatever Bible that you have, it could be capitalized, the word way. And so it's not just kind of this trivial sort of thing. It is a specific thing. It's a specific way that God has for his people to live. And it was so real at that point in time that it was given that label. These people were known as the way. Why? Well, because it looked different. Their lives looked very, very different than those that were around them that were not part of that. They were known as the way. It was their label. It was a part of their identity. The way. Those people are a part of the way. And we read that same phrase 5 additional times in the book of Acts. It was a mark. It was an identity, who they were, because of the way that they expressed who they were in the world around them. It's how they were known. It wasn't some club. It wasn't some organization that they just simply belonged to. It was a lot bigger than that. It was a way of life. It was a lifestyle. It was a culture that they had, that they created within the context of themselves, within the context of their community. So much so that they were known as the way. And that phrase simply and literally means road, highway, or way of life. That's the meaning of that phrase. It's who they were. It was ingrained in their lifestyle. Let's bump that up against what Jesus himself says in John chapter 14, starting in verse 1. A little bit of different context here. Let me just read this and then kind of go back and think through some things. So, verse 1, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may also be. And you know the way to where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." God has sent Jesus Christ into this world so that we could know, so that we could understand the way according to Jesus. We can know that because of who Jesus was and what he did in this place and time, this world that we live in. He was manifested. He was incarnational, actually in this world, so that we could know. He wasn't just some theoretical sort of being, but he was an actual human being that lived here in this same world that you and I live in, to demonstrate the way. Jesus says, "I am the way." You want to know the Father? You want to know about God? You want to have a relationship with him? Jesus says, "Then know me. I am the way. Do what I've done. Live life in the way that I have lived life. Learn from me. Learn about life from me. It's not just a Sunday morning sort of deal. And we all know that. We've been talking about that for a long time. It's not just showing up here on a Sunday morning. It's about expressing who Jesus Christ is to the world around us. It's always been God's heart. Whether we're talking about the Old Testament or the New Testament, that's always been God's desire, is that there would be a group of people that would express to the world around them what it means to live for God, who God is, what He's like. It's our mission. And God's hope is that it would become intuitive to us. It would become instinctual to us as His people. That it wouldn't require some sort of program or some step-by-step map that we need to somehow follow, but it would become just something, it would become who we are. It would become us. It would become the way that we just live our lives. It would become our lifestyle. It would become our culture. Regardless of the larger culture that we are in, it would just be who we are. That we would become more and more like Jesus Christ. That's what it means to live an incarnational life. God's hope is that we would do that together as His people, collectively. That Jesus would be manifested in real ways into this life that we live, in this world that we live in. So Jesus came to show us what that looked like. He is the way. Not only that, He's given us a guide. He's given us another way to be led in that. And so it wasn't just like Jesus gave all these instructions a couple thousand years ago, and then somehow we're just supposed to figure all that out based on all those facts and all that knowledge, and then somehow just walk in that. But God has given to us a helper. God has given to us a leader whose entire purpose is to just lead us into what that looks like. Skip down in John 14, verse 15. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and He will give you another helper to be with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. You know Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Skip down, verse 25. These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled. Neither let them be afraid. Part of what it means to be a living, breathing Christian, a disciple of Jesus Christ, is to know and understand who Jesus is, but it's more than that. It's to actually walk as Jesus walked. It's to do the things. It's to live the life ultimately that Jesus lived. Now, it's not going to look exactly the same. This is a very different world that you and I live in, and we've talked about that previously. It's not going to look exactly the same, but it should have the same heart. It should have the same flavor. It should have the same shape. It should smell the same. As we walk and live out just our ordinary lives, we've been given a spirit that lives inside of us. And so we don't have to figure it all out on our own, but we need to understand that we have a spirit whose job it is to lead us. Will we yield? Will we submit to the spirit? Will we be sensitive? Will we even be able to hear it in all the noise and all the clutter that's in our lives? Will we even be able to hear and sense the spirit and the leading of the spirit in our lives? We're not always going to get it right. It can be a really, really hard thing to do. And it doesn't happen overnight. It's a process that we're all in. It's a journey that we're all on, and none of us are in the same place in that journey. It's going to look different for every single one of us. We don't have to be perfect in it. We can claim the perfection of Jesus Christ. He was absolutely perfect. We're going to fail. We're going to make mistakes. That's okay. That's okay. The question is, in the midst of making those mistakes, is in the midst of just messing things up, what do we do then? What do we do then? Do we just give up? Or do we get back up? Do we live to fight the good fight of faith another day? Do we have that courage? Do we have that resolute conviction that it matters that much? Proverbs 14:12 says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. It's the way of death. All kinds of things can seem right to me. I can have all kinds of thoughts, all kinds of ideas, all kinds of opinions, all kinds of preferences. But if they're just me, they're going to lead to death. I need to be listening to the Spirit, to be sensitive to the Spirit. These verses were in our reading, I think, yesterday in the workbook. I just want to read through them again here because it bumped this up against, there's a way that seems right to a man. Bump this up against that. Come now, you who say, so this is James chapter 4. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him, it is sin. The bottom line for me, as I try to process through all of this from various different angles and perspectives and try to think through it and think through, well, what does that mean for me? What does that mean for my family? What does this look like? For me, it really boils down to a single, simple word. And that word is simply faith. And faith can kind of be, at least for me, can kind of be this ambiguous sort of thing, right? There's not a lot of absoluteness to what that looks like, right? It's not this concrete thing, which would be my preference. It's more of this, just kind of this ambivalent thing that sits out there for me. It may look different to you. That's fine. But for me, it's just a little bit fuzzy, quite a bit fuzzy. And sometimes it's really, really fuzzy. But faith. But really, even in that, it's a word, right? It's a word, and words are really nothing more than little dots that are on a piece of paper, and they really don't have any purpose or meaning. They have a definition, but they really don't do anything. They don't really become real until they get manifested in some way, until the definition of whatever that word is gets manifested. And at that point, it becomes real. It becomes something tangible that we can hold on to and that we can engage with in real ways in this world that we live in. I mean, these real things that we get to play with. It's faith. You do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. That takes tremendous faith to live in that way, takes tremendous faith when you don't know what tomorrow brings, what it's going to look like tomorrow. Is it going to look the same as it did today? Or is it going to be entirely different? You don't know. I don't know. And yet we're called to walk in that place with faith. And that's a hard thing to do. And it's going to look different for every single one of us. Your faith is not my faith. My faith is not your faith. And that's good. That's right. That's okay. That's the way it should be, because we've all had different experiences leading up to this point in time, the here and the now. And all of those experiences are woven into our tapestry of faith, whatever that looks like for you individually. It's going to look different. I think we need to embrace that difference. We need to embrace it. That's a good thing. God has given us different experiences. He's wired us differently. He's given us different personalities. We think about things differently. We talk about things differently. We get to play with things, and we play with them differently. That's a good thing. We should embrace it. So I don't know what it looks like for you to walk in faith. I don't know what that looks like on a day-to-day basis. I don't know. It may take tremendous faith for you to simply get out of bed in the morning and to trust and believe that God is real, that somehow he's gonna love you again today. It may take tremendous faith for you to think in those terms. It may take tremendous faith for you to actually trust other people. Because there's been experiences for you that you've engaged with in your past. And it just makes it hard to believe that you can or even should trust somebody else. It may take tremendous faith for you just to show up here on a Sunday morning, or to read your Bible, or to pray. May it take tremendous faith for you just to ask the question of God, God, are you real? Do you even care about me? Do you even see me? Do you see my pain? Do you see my suffering? Do you see the things that I deal with? Do you see the things that I think about, God? Are you even there? May it take tremendous faith for you in that realm. I don't know what your faith is. I don't know how that's going to look like, what that's going to look like exactly. But I do know this, that God wants us to grow in whatever our faith is at the moment. His goal for each one of us as a human being is, number one, first and foremost, that we would come to be reconciled to Him. That we would come to know Him. That the chasm that has been created by sin, that has caused that separation from God, that is all fundamentally about sin, that chasm would be no more. That chasm would close up. That there would be total reconciliation between you and God. First and foremost. And then, once that's established, that we would grow and become more like Christ in our world somehow. That He would be expressed in us and through us in various different ways, in all kinds of forms, in all kinds of ways, in all kinds of spheres that you and I get to walk in and play with. So wherever your faith is today, it's okay. It's okay. And wherever your faith is tomorrow, it's okay. But God's heart is that we would grow in our faith, whatever that looks like for each and every one of us. God wants us to take just one more step of faith towards Him. Just one more. Just one more. It's like God is putting together this amazing jigsaw puzzle. huge jigsaw puzzle. And there's all these different pieces. All kinds of pieces, all shapes, all sizes. And God's saying, I need a piece that just fits right here. Right here. I need a piece that's wired in a certain way, that's shaped in a certain way, that has a certain personality. And that piece needs to fit right here. And so God creates a David, or God creates a Susan. God creates you to fit in that place. Because God needs that piece to fit in that place in exactly the way that He has envisioned. The question is, will we be that piece? Will we be that piece that God needs in the way that He needs it to function in the context of the rest of the puzzle? Will we be that piece or not? We all get to choose. We all get to choose moment by moment, day by day, if we're gonna walk in the plan that God has for us. And I get that it can be really, really hard to even come to a place where we even think we understand what that looks like for us. And yet, God says, walk by faith. Walk by faith. God sees each one of those pieces, every single one of those pieces that are a part of that puzzle, He sees them as beautiful and precious. As different as they may be from every other piece that's in that puzzle, He sees them as absolutely perfect, a perfect fit to be in that puzzle, in the way that He has envisioned them to be in that puzzle, the way He has envisioned you to be that piece in that puzzle that He desperately needs. And He sees each piece as precious and beautiful. Not just, well, I guess this is kind of a piece. I guess it'll fit there. I guess it'll kind of work there. Wasn't really what I had in mind. It's not the way God thinks. God thinks about you as that special piece that's going to be in that place, in this masterpiece that He's creating. That's how He thinks about each and every single one of us. We're not just average puzzle pieces. We're beautiful, precious puzzle pieces. It's God's hope for every single one of us. And so in the context of tangible kingdom, I know there's probably a lot of questions out there. Well, what's next? What does it look like? How are we going to do this thing? And the answer is by faith. By faith. We don't know exactly what that looks like, as Dan was talking about up here earlier. We don't know. We've been trying to seek the Spirit in that and praying and asking, Lord, what would You want? What would You want that to look like? How can we be those individual puzzle pieces, and yet how can we collectively gather together in smaller groups to encourage one another and to walk with one another in that process? How can those smaller groups kind of fit together? And how can fruit, as I think about those groups, here's how I think about them. I think about them as little potential pods, if you will. They're just these little groups that have tremendous potential, not because of anybody that's in the group or who the group is or the makeup or the relationship, any of that. Simply that there's potential there simply because God is God. And in faith, if we are there in whatever group that we end up in, if we're there out of faith, then God will use that faith in tremendous ways and make it into whatever He wants it to be. I believe that. And yet, it can be hard to actually trust that. A lot of ideas, a lot of thoughts on what all that should look like. A lot of good ideas, a lot of good thoughts. question is, what does God want it to look like? What does He want to do with each one of those groups? What does He want that potential? How does He want that potential to actually be realized, to be manifested into this world around us? So these little pods are there that have tremendous potential. What's God's purpose? What's God's vision? These little incubators of faith. The groups themselves are not the end game. That's not the end point. What God wants is for faith to be expressed in real ways, in tangible ways that will make a difference into the world around us. So those groups are really just little vehicles, right? They're the vehicles for the faith. These little faith vehicles. Sometimes might feel like a little pacer vehicle or a little gremlin. Other times it might feel like a Ferrari or a Lamborghini. But whatever it feels like, that's not even the point. The point is, are we expressing faith in the midst of whatever that ends up looking like? Are we expressing faith? Are we expressing trust and hope? And are we speaking encouragement to one another? Are we supporting one another? And are we reaching out to the world around us in faith? So that we can manifest Jesus, so that we can be incarnational, so the people around us can understand who God is and who Jesus is. And if we're doing that, then it's going to be fruitful. It's going to be successful from God's perspective. I believe and trust that. God will move us from point A to point B. In our little vehicles of faith. He'll give us opportunities to express faith. He'll do that for us. And we'll move. As we choose to engage, we will move. And we will move from point A to point B. And then there's going to be a C and a D and an E and an F and on and on and on it goes. And one day, it's all going to be done. And we're not going to be here any longer. We're going to be in a better place. We're going to be in an eternal place. And yet, for you and me, we're still here today. That means we have a mission. We have a job to do. God's hope for us, and I believe God's hope for whatever these groups become, are that we collectively, as His people, that our faith would be expressed. Our faith would be real. Our faith wouldn't just be about a Sunday morning gathering. Our faith would be about life. The ordinary, everyday life that you and I live, that our faith would be expressed there. I'll close with this. David wrote this in 1 Chronicles, chapter 16, verse 8. I believe this is what God still wants today. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon His name. Make known His deeds among the peoples. Give thanks to the Lord. Call upon His name. Make known His deeds among the peoples. Number one, acknowledge God for who He is and what He's done. Give Him the credit. Proclaim who He is. Call upon Him. Do it in faith. And just make Him known. Just make Him known in whatever spheres that we are walking in. That's what God wants. God just wants to be known in the world around us. And so it's our mission. That's the mission He's given to us as His people. It's to do that. To do that in all kinds of different ways, all kinds of places. To just do that. To make Him known. And yeah, it may feel awkward. It may feel like we're fish out of water. Or it may seem very natural to us. And again, we're all in different places. All kinds of ways to do that. Some may be very intuitive to us. Some may not be. That's all right. God is a patient God. God is full of grace. That's why He sent Jesus. So, I would just encourage us. So we're meeting again this Tuesday. Is kind of our last week of kind of the workbook that we're in. And beyond that, here's what I would say. Just be available on Tuesday evening. And we're going to figure it out. Okay? So keep Tuesday night as kind of a clear night for at least the next couple weeks beyond this week. And in faith, we're going to walk forward. We're going to see how all that kind of unfolds. So that may be a comfortable thing for you. That may be very uncomfortable for you. I don't know. So, that's the plan for the next few weeks. And we'll do it together in faith. Let's pray. God, Father, I thank you that you are God. Thank you that you've given us a mission as your people. And it's simply a mission to proclaim you and to show who you are to the world around us. That's it. God, I'm so grateful that there is diversity in even this small group, God. Diversity of just the way of thinking, diversity of just the way of processing through things, diversity of how we're actually engaged with the world around us in all kinds of ways. It looks different. God, I'm so grateful that we're not the same. Thank you that you've made us all. You've created us all. There's a place in the puzzle for each and every one of us, God. I do pray for clarity as we continue to walk forward in tangible kingdom and that process and small group formation and what that's all going to look like. God, I ask for your wisdom. I ask for your clarity. I ask for your Holy Spirit to lead us in that process, God. God, I pray that whatever that ends up looking like, that there would just be faith. Faith of your saints expressed in those groups and beyond those groups, God. So we just praise you as God, and we trust you, and we just give all that to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Thanks, guys.